All right, so it's my time. I'm back up again. And by the grace of God, I'm here. And, in good health. And I just thank the Lord for all these things. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of James. Chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. And I tell you, Pastor Ryan Strauss, with your commentary and all of that, it's helped me out a lot. You know what I mean? And, being more precise in these passages, you know. So for the younger generations here, that's here, take advantage of what we have here. You know, we have the tools here to help us to be able to give forth the word of God. Don't be afraid to use it. That's what it's here for. We don't want to just sit there collecting dust. You know what I mean? So obviously what we honor is the word of God. You know, this is, forth in that we put all our trust in, this is the final authority of everything, is the word of God. You know, but I thank the men who put in the work, my pastor and those authors here, that do due diligence in studying, to give forth the word. And it's, these are tools that helps us, So just don't take it for granted. You're at a place where you can learn these things and be able to apply these things and help you and be more defined in your teaching and preaching of the word of God. Amen. So James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face through a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. And whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to thank you once again. It's an honor, Lord, to be here to give forth your word. You chose me, Lord, and others, a broken vessel, Lord, to give forth your word, your perfect word, that would help us, Lord. We thank you for the salvation that you have, a free gift that you've given each and every one of us. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, as we dive into the book of James, Lord, that we would glean some truths from here that we make it applicable to our lives. And Lord, I ask, Lord, your blessing upon this message, that it'll be a blessing to others. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, by way of introduction, James warns the response of wrath and encourages a response that is quick to hear and to receive the engrafted word. James finishes the chapter by encouraging persecuted believers to be sincere doers of the word, not hearers only. Okay, their sincerity would be evidenced by the true religion of a bride. Tame that tongue. Care of the fatherless and the widows, and choosing to obey and remain unspotted from this world. Who is James? James is the pastor of the persecuted and scattered church of Jerusalem. He identifies himself as the writer in this letter. The letter of James is the only letter written by him in the New Testament. As discussed in the introduction, James is the head pastor at this time of the Jerusalem church and the brother of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. James declares that he is a servant or a slave of God unto our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. We were joking here earlier about my points. So I have 3 points. It'll be 3 this time. 3 points that we're going to observe tonight. 3 points. All right. Point number 1 would be the preparation for the word. Hence, that's the topic of the sermon. 2, the reception of the word. And then number 3, the application of the word. All right. So point number 1, preparation of the word. Let's look at verse 19 to 20 of the immediate text we just read. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. After reminding his audience of the blessed position that they have as a first fruits of the gospel, James encouraged them to live like the first fruits that have been presented to the holy God. So we as believers, ambassadors for Christ, we have to live as ambassadors for the Lord and not mimic the world. Okay, we are to carry forth the truth of God's word and be able to give this truth not only in word, but to live it and act it out, okay, with sincerity. This appealing direct address, wherefore, my beloved brethren, we see here the heart of James, Pastor James, okay, and is seen in his sincere attempt to strengthen the scattered church members by highlighting their bond of love and unity through Christ. The ability to respond in a Christ-like manner would be challenged by the threats like that of Saul and others that will follow his persecution. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 9. Verse 1 indicates, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. So we see that this threatening and slaughter against the disciples. And how would the disciples react to this threatening and slaughter? Okay, how would you react if someone threatened you? The challenge to respond in the spirit to the threat against a believer and their family will require only the Lord's help. Only the Lord's help. When I was coming across these passages, it reminded me when my children growing up and being in school and, you know, if anyone bullied them or anything like that, I've always taught them to, you know, listen, we're not, you know, for, you know, violence, okay? And I don't promote violence. But if they put their hands on you, they put their hands on you, okay? I know that's in the flesh, but. So I told that to each one of them. And as, you know, as a group as well, okay? So, but we need the Lord's help in this area. All right. So the carnal nature of the old man wants to respond to threats by talking back, yeah, right, acting out, cutting up, right? Which can lead to wrath, which is not the righteousness of God, right? That would be our own righteousness. And we know what the Bible says about our righteousness, right? It's like filthy rags. right? So the persecuted and distressed believers needed short, brief troops to help them amongst the spiritual battles, to respond in wrath, and the pressures to assemble at a risk of being in prison. So you'll see that theme, which, you know, Brother Ryan, Pastor Ryan, has taught us, you know, about the wrath, you know, about the, you know, fear of man, you know, and fear of God. So the first steps in the preparation of God's word is to be quick to listen. He who is listening is learning. Reminds me of the wise child. Instead of that child that's a scorner. You know, instead of that child who's a fool. Constant speaking means that we aren't in the mode to receive truth. The third step in preparation for the word is to be slow to anger. This is the ability to defeat anger, which allows us to listen to the unpleasant truths when we are angry. And our thinking is out of balance, our reasoning is undependable at that moment. You see, when you're angry, you know, some people go from 0 to 100, you know, and fly off the handle. Right? And I think for those who are here in the assembly, we saw that happen here. If you didn't see it elsewhere. You could fly off the handle, you know, and without even thinking, saying things that maybe you're going to regret. Not only here, but what about to your parents? What about to your spouses? What about to your other family members? So be slow to anger. Point two, the reception of the word. Let's go back to James. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Here we see James continue with the transition that the believer needs to cast off sin in their lives, the carnal, the wrathful, filthy response of the old man during the test of faith is a terrible, terrible testimony that does not show forth the righteousness of God. You're showing the righteousness of man. First, we must take the word seriously. God has given man a great responsibility. He lets us decide if we will receive his word or not. He gives us that responsibility. So it's up to you and I what we're going to do with that responsibility. James indicate that the believer is to lay apart or to put off unclean sins, which is the aorist participle that indicates that the believer needs to continually put off, continually put away filthiness to show the righteousness of God in their lives. It gives a sense of taking a garment off and putting it aside. And every now and then when it gets out here, I feel like taking this garment off, put it inside. But that's the idea. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he uses, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking. Lay it aside. Evil speaking. It is very clear in the scriptures what the Bible says concerning these sins that I myself am guilty of. As a believer is being tested, The flesh will war against the spirit, and the believer will be tempted to revert to the former sins of the old man. James make it clear that any sort of carnal response to the threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord was sin. We all have that old man hanging around. Amen. It's there. It's there. And the only way that you're going to conquer that is being filled with the Spirit. Can't do it on your own strength. Don't let anyone fool you. This is why it's so important to be in the house of God, to be under the teaching and preaching of God's word. Because when we stay away, not be under the authority, okay, of the local church, then we're bound to do these things. And even if you're here, just because you're physically here, okay, being a hearer but not a doer, you'll still be doing the same thing. Again, the believers are recipients of God's perfect gift, which is the new birth through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hence, they are the first and the best of his creatures that needs to show forth the righteousness of God as they endure the test like his suffering servant. James says that we must humbly receive the authority of the word. The attitude of humility is really a prerequisite. We need to let God's word rule over us and not us ruling over it. We must understand the power of the word of God, the power of the living God that stands behind it. The word has the power to convict the heart and also to save a sinner like me. The last step of the reception of God's word is to get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. If we are nurturing secret sinful thoughts, then it is difficult to accept the truth of God's word when our mind is filthy. We worship a holy God. My wife and I were talking about that. Sometimes we get away from that concept that we worship a holy God. It was my wife thinking we were talking about that. Well, she was part of the conversation, so. we worship a holy God. Now, as we go to the application of the word, let's look at verse 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The wandering and wavering believer needed to return to the place of wisdom. I think our brother spoke about that Sunday school. To be swift to hear and to receive with meekness the engrafted word. You see, when you're in the time of persecution, you need to be swift to hear. That's the hardest thing to do when you're in the midst of persecution. Because you just react. You're not listening to nobody. I worked it in a juvenile detention for 23 years where I retired. And these kids, they will fly off the handle in a heartbeat. They have no restraints. Then they get yourself in trouble, which led them there, by the way, because of that same behavior out in the streets. Right? And then when it's all said and done, and now you're with us for a year or so, or months, or whatever the case is, and now when you start to think about, your mind stops racing, and you're thinking, how did I end up here? How did I get myself in this mess? So while in the heat of their persecution, James says to these scattered Jews who were being persecuted, be swift to hear. In the heat of it, listen. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. However, James wanted to ensure they did not think hearing the word was enough. They needed to assemble, hear the word. It didn't do the word amongst persecution. So in other words, the born-again believer or church member is to be defined and characterized as a complete doer of the word of God, one who hears the word from their Lord and readily obey the word. You see, doing the word of God is synonymous with obeying and keeping the word of God, which was not a new concept for James and the scattered believers. Let's go into the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy. Chapter 4. Verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 states, "Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." So we notice, we read it again, Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment which I teach you. For to what? Do them, that you may live, and go and possess the land which the Lord God, your fathers, has given you. Down in verse 6, we see it repeated again. So whenever we see this phraseology, for to do them, and to do them, obviously, the Lord is emphasizing something here. Verse 6 says, "Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sights of the nations." So the word of God has been taught in different contexts throughout humanity. Nevertheless, the principle remains that a God-fearer, those who fear God, not man, must do and obey his words. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. I'm challenged by that too. You see, a lot of people who claim to live under the authority of the word of God have never put what they know into practice. especially in the heat of persecution. You see, the double-minded believer was rebuked for hearing the word of God with no plans of doing the word. James indicates that the believer that only hears is like a believer, the unbeliever, that habitually hears, rejects, and neglects the truth. So the context indicates disobedience was out of the fear of imprisonment or death from the religious or local leaders of that time. That's what they were fearing, instead of obeying God in the heat of persecution. This is what James explained. So use the word like a mirror. You go to the mirror to get an accurate appraisal of yourself. You go to the mirror to see what needs to be changed. Some stay in the mirror more longer than others. You go to the mirror to change what is there. So the hearer only is like a man that carefully looks at himself in the mirror and then leaves and forgets about all the things he found in examining himself. Typically, a man that looks in the mirror and sees something out of place, like a dirt on his face, that will make the correction. However, the hearer only investigates his face in the mirror and sees that the change that he needs, that needs to be made, but he never makes the changes. The mirror of the word of truth shows all their sins and needs for repentance and correction. Some look into the mirror and they see that they need to repent and forsake, but they reject and forget the truth. So what is that mirror? Are you putting that mirror to your face? Not just looking at it, but reading with wisdom and understanding. And before you know it, you start seeing all kinds of bacteria and all kinds of things. They're like you're under a microscope, right? You think it's clean, but it's filthy. I'm filthy. Receive the word like a law. James describes the word of God as the perfect law of liberty. The first thing to know is that the law of God is perfect. No human law can stand with God's law. Secondly, note that it is the law that gives freedom. Law and freedom seems contradictory to us. The law tells us what we cannot do. And freedom speaks of what we can do. But there is no freedom without a law that protects and provides. James refers to the word of God as the perfect law of liberty. So in contrast to the beholding of the natural face, the believer that investigates the perfect law can see the complete and perfect example that they should follow through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the statures of the fullness of Christ. You see, the perfect word of God is how the natural believer can begin to grow into the stature and the fullness of Christ. The perfect law of liberty is essential to the believer being made perfect in their faith. The obedient believer is not as the forgetful hearer of the word. Forgetful indicates that the one who only hears is always a forgetful hearer. Again, the hearer only immediately rejects, forgets, and moves on from the word. In contrast, the doer of the work, that looks and continues in the law of liberty, which is the perfect word, okay? When I read this, you know, it does something to me because it convicts me on so many levels, you know, some things. But the doer of the work looks and continues in the law of liberty is blessed. And his deeds of studying the word. James indicates that the one who obeys and does the word shall be blessed. He will bless you in the time of persecution. The future middle indicative shall be indicates that the doer shall be blessed in the future point past the time of doing the deed or work from the law of liberty. Again, the state of blessing has a temporal effect. But the key blessings are eternal and it is given out at the judgment seat of Christ. So, remember, and I'm speaking to myself too, in the time of persecution, when you're under the pressure, young people, when you're under the pressure of peer pressure, that may be your persecution. Those who are in school, especially in the teenage years, adolescent years, the pressure, the peer pressure is so difficult at that time for them, where they can fall into all kinds of wickedness. All kinds of wickedness. So with that being said, every man should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James reminds us of that. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, which we just discussed. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect liberty of the law, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for your truths. Thank you for Pastor James as he was sharing this and exhorting his church members, scattered church members. Lord, here it is 2,000 years later, we can apply these same principles here at Bible Baptist Church. And we just pray, Lord, that if when we're under persecution, that we not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer also. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.